asterisk next to our name, and we feel like the asterisk, it disqualifies us, and we feel like that everything that happened in life prior to right now disqualifies us for the thing for which God is calling us towards. But God wants you to know that just like Jephthah thought he was disqualified because of where he came from and because of what he came from, God erased all of that, and God actually used where he came from and what he came from to use him mightily in the kingdom. And I declare that over your life tonight, whether you're watching by live stream or whether you're in the house tonight, I declare that the asterisk next to your name does not disqualify you, but it qualifies you to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. The earth is waiting and moving towards heaven, but God is calling heaven to earth through you and I tonight. Through the asterisk next to your name, God is just declaring over your life, the very thing which you thought disqualified you actually empowers you to lead greater. It actually gives you a greater advantage to come against the forces of hell and the forces of darkness in the earth. The very experiences of your life that you thought were going to work against you and keep you out of the kingdom are the things that the kingdom of heaven, that God himself is using as a tool to unloose the devices of hell in the earth. And so tonight we declare, Lord Jesus, we will no longer live as insecure. We won't live as weak, but God will allow you to move through us, that we accept the empowerment of the Holy Spirit over our life tonight. We declare, God, that this city shall be loosed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We declare that our very lives, our very families shall be loosed by the power of the Spirit of the living God living within us. Lord, tonight in this place, we declare faith rise. Faith rise like smoke to heaven. Faith rise. Faith rise for every hopeless circumstance. Faith rise for every diagnosis of a doctor that's a lie. We declare that the counsel of men is a lie tonight, but the Word of God stands true and is alive forever and shall not return void. And so we declare that it is by your stripes that we are the healed of the Lord. We declare that we've heard the victory. We've heard it recently, how there have been those that have been healed of cancer. But we declare, God, it's just a tithe of what we've received so far. We're about to receive so much more, so much greater testimony of your power being demonstrated, because the kingdom always is accompanied with signs and wonders. We lose your signs in our life. We lose your wonders to just go throughout the earth and testify of your goodness. Testify tonight to those that are watching. We declare, God, loose your wonders in the earth through our lives. We bless you tonight. We thank you that sickness and disease is bound in this place. If you have sickness or disease, we bind it in Jesus' name, and we release the power of the Holy Spirit to lift you from your sick bed tonight. There is faith tangible in the room tonight, and God, we declare that your healing power is available to those that are watching now, to those that are even listening now. We declare, loose, be loosed in Jesus' name from sickness. Be loosed from insecurity. Be loosed from an oppressive spirit. Be loosed from a harassing spirit of an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. You have something, or else he wouldn't be trying to steal it. Or you have life, or else he wouldn't be trying to take it. There is something to destroy, or else he wouldn't be coming after you so hard. I declare in Jesus' name, we are a victorious bride. We live in abundant life. We pursue faith. We pursue faith by all cost. We won't let go of faith. We won't be undetermined. We won't allow, Lord God, circumstances to deter us from faith. But we push forward towards the goal, the mark, the high call of our Savior. We'll bring more honor to you, King Jesus. We give you praise tonight. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for how you've brought Tiffany from where she was to where she is right now. God, that she's talking and she wasn't able to talk a day ago. And God, that she remembers, you know, that she began to remember. And now, God, we just declare full restoration into her life. We thank you that she's moving. God, we declare that she'll be running in not too many days. We bless you, Lord. We love you tonight. We expect signs and wonders to follow the preaching of your word. Because the kingdom is not just in speech, but it's in power. So we look for the power of heaven to be released in our lives and into this region this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Tell somebody good evening. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. Welcome one another tonight. Hey, give somebody a word tonight. Let's do something. It's coming. Here we go. Hey, if you're in the house tonight, what I want you to do is just find somebody and give them a word. Amen. If you don't know how to do that, just speak goodness over somebody. So everybody find somebody. Everybody find somebody. Everybody find somebody and give a good word. Just give them a good word. Bless them with the goodness of the Lord tonight. Good to be together tonight. We're speaking prophetically this month. It's a month of June. And so the midweek culture building topic is the prophetic. And so we want to learn how to bless with our mouth. So I bless the calves tonight. I bless them with over 60% shooting this evening. Great. I'm not speaking any cuss words toward Golden State. I'm just blessing the Cavs. Just blessing them. Amen. Amen. Wasn't the word wonderful Sunday? Man, if you didn't get it, if you weren't here, that was one for the ages right there. That was one to just go ahead and keep, you know, it's one to put on your stuff and keep it there and listen to it every once in a while. You know, we have such a heritage of the word that's preached here. Such a powerful heritage of the word that is preached. And Pastor Mary's going to come in a few moments, and it just comes right through her. I just love to hear her minister, and we're going to honor her. But before we do that, we're going to receive this evening's tithe and offering. Thank you so much for your faithful giving here tonight. I don't know where Johnny went, but he's probably out saving the world out there somewhere. He's out there. So there he is, saving the world. See, he's taking care of business. You want to do it at the end or you want to do it now? Do it at the end. We're going to do it at the end. So you can prepare your cash. If you're giving cash, the envelopes are there before you. If you're giving online, we need you to do that. If you watch online, please don't feel like you're not obligated to give. You are obligated to give because you're receiving from the Word of the living God. Lots of people are like, well, I wasn't there, so I didn't give. Well, you can give online. There's a little tab up there at the right-hand corner. You can scroll down, and it says give, and you can give. So please do that online. It helps us to preach the gospel all across the world. So without further ado, let's honor Pastor Mary as she comes. Let's all stand to our feet and give her a great big applause as she comes to minister the Word of the Lord tonight. Give her a hand.
Thank you. You guys can all sit down. I'm going to get my stuff together here. I'm so excited to be here. I love love culture at midweeks. Because what it's doing is it's getting us prepared together as a family. And that's so amazing. It's so important because we have to know where we're going, right, if we want to go together. And nobody's allowed to stay behind. No, we're not leaving anybody behind, and we're just going, and we're going to, you know, we have a mission. We have a mission to take over the city and this county and this region for Jesus, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. So this month, we're talking about prophetic, and this was probably the first time I actually asked to speak because I was like, I have to speak on this because I love the prophetic. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's just such a powerful gift. And Paul loved it too, right? He said everybody needs to prophesy. He wanted all of us to prophesy, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But so I'm just going to talk a little basic stuff, and some of you are school of ministry students, and you'll know a lot of what I'm going to talk about. But at the end, we're going to do an activation. Yes, we love activations because what it does is it puts in practice what we've learned, and it lets us try. You know, God is a good father. He doesn't pressure us, and he's not taskmaster, and he doesn't hold his finger over us in shame. He is patient with us, and so he gives us room to grow. He gives us room to make mistakes, and he loves us all the way through it. So that's kind of what an activation is, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. But tonight, a couple of the quotes and things that I'm going to use, I'm not going to tell you exactly where they're from because I won't have time. But this book is really good. If you want to learn more details and just any information you could dream of about the prophetic, this book is amazing. It's You May All Prophesy by Steve Thompson, and a lot of what I'm going to use tonight is in this book. Very, very, very good. It's rich. This little book has got lots of information in it. And then this is one of our School of the Ministry manuals, textbooks, and it's very basic, simple, but it's powerful. It's very a very good tool to operate in the prophetic. So I'll be using that. And then there was a Graham Cook teaching that I'm going to be quoting out of as well. So, the purpose and the core values of the prophetic ministry. And once we get the purpose, and once we learn the core values of the prophetic ministry, then we can just be sent out like a rocket, launched out to do what God's called us to do. And so tonight, I just want to give a very simple definition of what prophetic ministry is. It's looking for treasure. It's going on a treasure hunt. And it reminded me, my mom, when my kids were younger, always took my kids to the treasure store. Can anybody figure out what the treasure store is? It's a thrift store. Goodwill, Salvation Army. She'd go, you guys want to go to the treasure store? Yes! They got so excited. Even my boys got so excited because they knew they could buy a lot of things. And they could pick through the big 5-foot stack pile of stuffed animals. And they could bring 10 home. And I would not be very happy. Because kids have way too many stuffed animals, right? But they loved it. So it reminds me a little bit of the treasure store. You know, the value of something is found in how much someone else is willing to pay for it. Right? Anybody remember these things? In the 90s, these Beanie Babies were everywhere. And so for a while there, they were hard to find because their value skyrocketed. Now, how much do you think this was to make? 25 cents? 50 cents? There was one just like this that was a little bit darker. I think it was a Princess Di one. And do you know how much it went for? Over $3,000. You have a Princess Di one? You should probably check that out. But the value of that Beanie Baby is found in how much someone is willing to pay for it. So now this 25-cent Beanie Baby is worth $3,000, right? Another example, and I borrowed this from Jeremiah. Anybody know what this is? These are Air Jordans. Air Jordans. This is just the box because he would never give me the actual shoes. But Air Jordans are expensive, right? How much do you think they cost to make? Probably 20 bucks, 15 bucks. But how much do they cost? $150 to $200, right? But there's so much value in certain pairs. The most expensive pair of Air Jordans, how much do you think went for? $11,267 for a pair of tennis shoes. They were valuable in the eye of the buyer, right? Jesus paid a high price for us while we were still sinners. He saw value in us before he was even guaranteed delivery, right? Before he even knew shipping was taken care of, before he even knew we were going to say yes, he paid it all. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Here's the thing about the prophetic. It doesn't take a prophetic gift to call out sin in people. It doesn't take a prophetic gift to see what's wrong with people. It takes a prophetic gift to see the value behind the sin. It takes a prophetic gift to see the destiny hidden in those that are broken and sinful and dirty and shameful, right? Jesus did it. He is the best example of the prophetic ministry because he did it all during his time here on earth, and he continues to do it. It does require a prophetic gift to see people loved like God loves them, valued like God values them. There's an example of it in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked Peter. He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter knew. He said, I say you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And he said, yeah, you didn't know that except by the Father. He told you that. He revealed it to you. You didn't learn it from any human being. But look what Jesus did in verse 18. Skipped over. Sorry, Matt. He said that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Did you notice he didn't call him Simon? Simon means broken. Simon means broken. He knew. Peter was the rough one. He was the fisherman. He was the dirty guy, right? The one that always messed up, always said something wrong. And Jesus even knew he was going to deny him. But he didn't tell him about that. He said, you're my rock. You're not broken. You're my rock. And he saw the destiny and the great things in Peter, even while he was still broken. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. We are called to find the gold in the midst of the dirt in people's lives. True prophetic ministry finds the gold in the midst of the dirt in people's lives. You know, most people know they have dirt in their lives. Even non-believers, they know. They know when they're sinning. They know when they're messed up. It's not really necessary to point out the dirt. It's not really necessary to say, oh, look at you. Do you know you're living wrong? They know this, right? What they need to be is they need to be convicted of God's glory that's hidden in here. Hidden deep inside. You know the glory that God put there when they were in their mom's womb? That glory. That glory. And the prophetic ministry gives us the power to identify that. That's supernatural. To be able to look past all the gook and the junk. That's supernatural to say, I see something in you. I see destiny in you. I see inventions in you. I see purpose in you. That's what the prophetic does. But a prophetic culture can only thrive within a culture of honor. This is powerful, and it's almost too much for me to explain. But a prophetic culture can only survive in a culture of honor, because if I don't look at you with honor, I'm never going to see God's goodness and greatness in you. Never. Because I'm not going to get past the natural. If I can't get past the natural, I'm never going to get to the supernatural. And that's why a culture of honor is so important. We have to practice it. We have to get better at it. We have to get better again at it, right? And sometimes it's hard because we get carnal and we get tired and we get grouchy and we get annoyed. But that culture of honor has to come first. And then the prophetic can flourish. Then the prophetic. And watch when it happens. You're going to see greatness come out of people. You're going to see greatness come out, destiny come out, and it's going to happen like that. But we have to facilitate it with honor. We are called to see people the way God sees them. We are called to speak to the person and prophesy to the person that Christ died for. We're prophesying to the one he died for. We're prophesying to Peter, not to Simon. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, this is like the banner scripture for the prophetic. Banner scripture. Keep this in. If you have a prophetic gift, you should memorize this scripture verse. All of us should, because he wants us all to prophesy, right? We've got to know that the one who prophesies strengthens, encourages, and comforts. Strengthens, encourages, and comforts. You can go to another translation. You can memorize it in another translation. Edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Doesn't change that much. The words get bigger, right? Right. That's got to be our banner verse for prophetic. You know, about 10 years ago, I was doing a spiritual gifts just for me, and I just wanted to know that I had more of a gifting than shopping, you know? And I found that I did have a prophetic gift, and I was so amazed and so honored and so excited that I began to study in the Word and the Bible and the prophetic. And guess where I went? The Old Testament. And I began to study the Old Testament prophets. And if you're not careful, that can go really bad really quick, right? Because the Old Testament prophets prophesied the law. They prophesied the law. And another thing about the Old Testament prophets is a lot of times we see their character traits of hate and anger and depression, right? Disobedience. And we go, well, those are traits of the prophetic. I'm a prophet now. I need to be depressed. Right? I'm a prophet now. I need to be angry. But guess what? They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit came and rested on them, but he didn't fill them. So then where were the fruits of the Spirit? A little bit harder for them. We don't have any excuse. Right? We can have our fruits flourish because the Holy Spirit lives and breathes inside of us. So the prophetic comes out. And what does it come out like? Comes out like Jesus, like the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to have those traits, those character flaws with them. It's not part of the prophetic gift. Jesus even talked about this with his own disciples because his disciples tripped on it. His disciples tripped on those character traits. The story in Luke 9, where they were going back to Jerusalem and Jesus sent his disciples ahead to Samaria and he said, go get things ready for me. I'm thinking they probably were going to stay there on an overnight, right? But what did the Samaritans do? They rejected them. So the disciples in verse 54, I skipped again, Matt, sorry. I'm trying to hurry because the calves are coming on. So, so in verse 54, the disciples, James and John, saw this, that they were rejected, and they said, Lord, in their very prophetic voice, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? Their eyes were on the Old Testament prophets. But look what Jesus said in the next verse. He turned and he rebuked them and he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but he came to save them. And then they just went to another village. Jesus said, wait, that's not how we do this. Jesus's reply is a rebuke to all who are mistaken about the spirit of prophecy today. Love, not anger, should be our prophetic motivation. Love, not anger. Even to the sinful, even to the unbelievers, even to the, should I say it, transgenders, right? Even to the homosexuals, love, not anger, should motivate our prophetic gift. Being prophetic means we should not only hear God's words, but we should have God's nature as well. Because when we are expressing his words, we're expressing his heart. Have you ever given anybody a message and they kind of had a power trip? And so that when they went to give your message to someone else, they gave it with an attitude. And you didn't really mean it like that. It's not what I meant. But they had their hand on their hip and they started shaking their head and was like, well, they said, you're not allowed to do na 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 na. You didn't express my heart. And that's what God's saying. Make sure you express my heart when you use my words. Make sure you express my heart. In Revelation 19:10, what does it say? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, right? Is that what it says? For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. The prophetic gift is a testimony of who Jesus is. He is good news, right? Love has to be the motivator. 1 John 4:8. But if anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So my Bible says that even that you don't even know God, right? If you can't love, much less you can hear him unless you love. We have to love him. We have to love other people if we're going to use his words. So this is where it gets a little tricky. What do we do when we get a negative word about somebody? That's a hard question to answer because I get negative words about some people sometimes. Actually, I was struggling with one this past month. I'm not going to tell you who it is, obviously, but there is a couple. There's a couple that I know. You guys don't even know them. That when I look at him, I can see an anger over him in a domestic violent kind of way. And so it troubles my heart. And I said, God, what do I do with this? What do I do? How do I tell her? How do I pray for them? What do I do? Like, I need to know what you see in him. And so I just have been laying it before God and praying for them. And he's starting to reveal things. He's starting to reveal things about her. He's starting to reveal things about him. Like when I mentioned inventions, like that he's a hurt person. And then I need to prophesy what God put in him in his mother's womb. I need to call that out. And you know what? It takes commitment. It takes a real love for someone. But when God shows us those negative words, that's a responsibility we have. To go before the throne and say, show me what you see. Show me what you see, Father. Identify the good things about them so that I can speak them out, so I can bring life over their hearts and over their families and over their future. I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal a truth, little t, so we can reveal the truth, big T, the person of Jesus to that person. See, there's truths that are facts. There's a fact that he's struggling with anger. But there's also a truth, a person called Jesus Christ who died for him and that can be introduced to his life, and that anger is gone. That fact is gone. That's the purpose of the prophetic. In Jeremiah 1:10, God told him, today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, and others you must build up and plant. The enemy has sown so much negativity in this world. Some people get bombarded with negativity when they're infants, and it stays with them until they die. Because the enemy knows how to sow negativity into people's lives. And that negativity becomes lies. It becomes hate that they carry around. It becomes abusiveness that they carry around. Abandonment, worthlessness. It's all lies. And kingdoms and fortresses are built up in their lives. Thought patterns and emotional issues that they can't get away from. So why would we point it out, speak it out, pull it out of them and dump it on their lap and try to fight a negative with a negative? You can't do it. It doesn't work. They know what's wrong with them. When we use a negative on a negative, we cause condemnation or we cause accusation. Only the devil is the accuser of the brethren. I'm going to say that again. I'm really passionate about this part, so that's why I'm going really slow, because my blood boils when I see negative prophetic. So, anyways. Only the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and we don't want to work for the enemy, right? We want to work against him. Prophecy must destroy the works of the enemy. It overthrows enemy activity. The gospel is good news to humanity and bad news to the enemy. So sometimes we may or may not call out the nations and the kingdoms built up in people's lives. Some things might be too difficult to call out. Some things might be okay. For instance, if you know someone struggles with depression, it's not going to defeat them or tear them down to say, I feel like you may struggle with depression, but God wants to set you free. But you're not going to call out an abuser. You know what I mean? There's certain things that you can call out, and there's certain things that we probably shouldn't call out. What do? You call out the opposite. If someone you feel like is struggling with pornography, you call out freedom. I see a freedom coming over you that Jesus paid for your life. I see it washing over you. I see it making you white as snow. I see it bringing you peace. That's how we can handle the negative. We replace it. We build and plant. In Jeremiah 1:10, we build up and we plant. Every time we prophesy, we have to remember that 1 Corinthians 14:3. Thank you. We have to remember it because it edifies. It's got to build something up in the place of the nations and the kingdoms that we've destroyed. So we can be intentional about this. A lot of times, you know, we've learned so much about the prophetic, even through my life. A lot of what I've learned wasn't exactly all of it. Like I had in my mind only certain people could prophesy, especially out loud in the church. And they had to be a certain age, and they had to hold a certain title and position. And other than that, you better not go there. Not that our church was wrong. God's just revealing more because he's ready to unleash his kingdom. But we've got to understand the prophetic is for all of us. Paul wants all of us to prophesy. And we need to get rid of the titles. Obviously, there's a gift of a prophet and a prophetess. I get that. But it shouldn't intimidate, right? Right. So, a lot of times for most of us, prophetic is spooky and it's for the elite. But you know what? It doesn't have to be spooky. It's just hearing God's voice. You can all hear God's voice. You don't have to be special, right? You just have to listen. So we're going to take the spookiness out of prophecy. I'm just going to give you a couple simple definitions. Foretelling, F-O-R-E, telling, is to know the future. And an example of this is in Acts 11:28, when a man named Agabus stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. And then it was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. Now, I believe that people have the gift of foretelling. I do. However, I don't think it should be used to cause fear and intimidation in the body of Christ. I don't think that's the right way to use it. I think that it's a tool to make us busy. Well, I'm not going to say that, but I think it should make us get busy. It should make us get out there and tell people about Jesus. It should make us get on our knees and pray. Because what happened with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah? God was willing to change his mind. And he's still willing to change his mind if we pray and if we get busy. And look, we already know who wins, right? He wins. So foretelling, I do believe in it. God blesses it. We just have a tendency to cause fear with it. It doesn't have to be that way all the time. Fourth telling is to cause the future. This is my favorite kind of prophecy. I love it. So, fourth telling, there's an example of it in Ezekiel. And we all know the story. Ezekiel 37, where the dry bones come alive. And four, we're going to start in verse 4 because we're going to backtrack and I'm going to tell you something after we're done. But God said to Ezekiel, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Now, this is still God telling Ezekiel what to say. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I'm the Lord. So now Ezekiel talks. I spoke this message just as he told me, and suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. And the bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. And then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said again, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life, stood up on their feet, a great army." Amen. Ezekiel created the future. He created something out of the word of the Lord. We should all desire and be intentional about declaring the word of the Lord over people to build, to comfort, and bring truth, Jesus' truth. Remember, I am the truth, the way, and the life. To bring Jesus into the lives of those around us. We can cause life. We can cause life. And God even wants us to ask him, "Can we speak your word? Do you have a word for them? Can I have a word today?" God wants to pour words into us all day long. Like, you can wake up and just have a prophetic day anytime you want. And it's so intentional and it's so powerful and it's so fun. Like, I don't want to have a boring day anymore. I want to go, "God, okay, she's on my heart for a reason. Can I have a word for her?" And he'll go, "Sure, you want one? Here, here you go." And then this is amazing. You can use this for the prophetic, and it's so much fun. I love getting texts with prophetic words. I'm like, man, that'll take me a couple hours. It's like taking a cup of coffee. But in Ezekiel 36, right before this story, it's all about God's promise of restoring Israel, even though they didn't deserve it. God said he was going to repopulate the city. He said he was going to build up the economy and that everyone would know the Lord. And then in verse 37, God was like, "Come on, Ezekiel, I want to show you something." He said, "Let's do an activation." And look what happened in the first three verses of Ezekiel 37. "The Lord took a hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And he led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. And then he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones become living people again?'" And Ezekiel's reply, I just picture him almost like a teenager when you ask him what they did at school. "I don't know." Right? He said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, only you know the answer to that." And I believe in this scripture verse, he disempowered himself. Ezekiel said, "I don't know." And God was like, "I'll give you words. Just speak it. I'll give you words. Just open your mouth and watch what'll happen." And then we go back and we remember what happened. A great army. Declaring God's word over people creates life, and we should do it every chance we get. Every chance. Every time we're talking to somebody, every time somebody comes in our mind, "I need a word for them. Give me a word for them, God." And it'll come like that. We'll begin to understand his voice. We'll begin to see the signs and feel and understand the emotions we have. And we walk in a room and maybe even notice some weird feelings in our arms or in our legs that somebody around us needs a healing. And there's all these ways that God wants to communicate with us. But guess what? His first language isn't English. School of Ministry students know that. He doesn't always speak in English to us. Sometimes we just get a feeling, an impression. Sometimes we get a vision, a picture. Jesse was up there and I saw his feet like cement. I told him, is he coming? And then I told him that I opened my eyes and he didn't have shoes or socks on. And it was like his feet were cemented in this foundation. And that he's always thought he was the legacy. But he's not just the legacy. He's the beginning. He's just the beginning. Because there's so many that are coming after him that he's going to lead. But we can see visions. And we can have feelings and emotions. And we can sense God moving in a direction. He wants to give us this prophetic gift. I skipped over word of knowledge, but word of knowledge is a prophetic gift as well. It's just a fact that we know about something, someone. It could have already happened. It could be happening now. But what a word of knowledge does is it opens the door to the supernatural. It goes, God notices you. He loves you. And he wants to do something in your life. Will you let him? Well, most people, when you know something about them that they didn't tell you, they're a little bit more open than they were before, right? It's like a miracle showing up in someone's day. So we're going to do an activation tonight. And a lot of us, maybe even in this room, might have a hard time with asking God to move now. You know, sometimes we think that maybe he just does it when he wants to, and it's not proper to ask him, and it's not proper to put a demand on it. But in Matthew 7:11, we all know that scripture verse. It's the one that says, if our kids ask us for bread, are we going to give them a stone? No. If they ask us for fish, are we going to give them a snake? No. But if us sinful people know how to give good gifts to our kids, then how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? The prophetic is a good gift, and he wants to freely give it to us because it can change people's lives and it can bring life to people. So tonight, for any of you that want to participate, I want to give an opportunity for a prophetic activation. But I also know that there will be people here that will be ministered to because Holy Spirit wants to do something in here tonight. So if you are comfortable and you want to try a prophetic activation, I'm just going to ask you, while Jesse plays, just to come up and stand, maybe a couple on this side and a couple on this side. And I'll explain a little bit ahead of time what we're going to do. We're going to ask Holy Spirit to come, and we're going to ask him for the gift of the prophetic and a word for somebody. And then there's a couple different ways we're going to ask for him to give us a word. The first way is through a scripture verse that we feel like we should share with someone. And you know, you don't even have to know the exact person in this room. You can just say, I feel like it's for someone in here. So we're going to ask him for a scripture. We're going to ask him for a picture or a vision in our mind. We're also going to ask him for interpretation of it. And then we're going to ask him for an emotional feeling. Because sometimes when you walk into a room and you feel heavy, and you're like, man, what's wrong with me? I was fine 10 minutes ago. God's trying to say, someone needs delivered of that. You're a feeler. You feel things in the atmosphere. And because you brought Jesus in, you just need to declare life over it and release people like that. We're also going to ask him for a physical sensation, because a lot of times when someone needs healing, you'll feel something in the shoulder if someone has something wrong with their shoulder. Or it might not have anything to do with healing. It could be someone's carrying a heavy burden and you feel pressure on your back. So there's lots of different ways that God tries to talk to us and speak to us. But if you want to participate, come on up now. I know some of the school ministry students probably will do it. And if anybody else, you don't have to be a school ministry student. You'll be surprised. how fast you'll hear him. And I'm not going to make you talk. If there was people last night that came up and they didn't ask for the microphone, so you're asking for the microphone. So come on. Be brave. Why don't we worship? Let's do that. Let's worship. And, well, no, we're going to do an activation. Let me explain a little bit more. An activation is just asking God if he wants to speak through us. So let's stand up and worship. We're going to ask God if he wants to speak through us. And we're going to ask him for a scripture verse or a picture, an emotional feeling, or a physical sensation. And then we're going to ask him what it means. For instance, last night, there was a lady that felt like a heart was broken. And when she said that, a young lady that was struggling in her marriage just started crying on the front row. And so God wants to restore through this. He wants to minister through this. And it's awkward, you know, and it's uncomfortable. But where is the better place to do it at, right? This is the best place to practice because we love each other and we're covering each other and we want to keep each other safe and we're not going to point fingers and we're not going to get mad, but we're going to honor each other through it. And that's why we do activations, because here is a lot easier than Walmart. Amen. So, dear Heavenly Father, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for filling us. And we are saying tonight, God, that we want more of you. We're making room for more of you, Holy Spirit. Flow through us. Love through us. Let us hear your voice in a clearer way. Speak through us tonight, God, as we worship you.
Now I want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your love follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I'll sing because you are good. And I'll dance because you are good. And I'll shout because you are good. You are good to me. And I sing because you are good. And I'll dance because you are good. And I shout because you are good. You're so good to me. And I want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your love, it follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good. And I dance because you are good. And I shout because you are good. You are good to me. And I sing because you are good. And I dance because you are good. And I shout because you are good. You are good to me.
So now we're just going to see if anybody up here has a scripture to share for somebody.
All right, so just to go over, God gave me a word at the beginning of worship, and this is for grandma. That's all I can say. Grandma, but not just grandma. When we look at our grandma, we say, grandma. So this is for grandma, okay? So I don't know who this is yet, but they're going through life, and they give out everything they are and everything that they can give. And and they feel like God's just giving them pocket change right now. But God wants you to know that he is the abundance. He is the abundance, and he's got wheelbarrows of love for you. So if that fits you, if that's making you feel something right now, I want to pray for you. I just really want to pray for you. Grandma, if that's you, I want to pray for you.
Good. Awesome. What I felt God just gave me was it's never too late to call out to him. So if there's somebody in here who's feeling something's going on in their life and it's just too late, God's saying it's not too late to call out to him. So come on up and I'd love to pray for you. That's good.
I had a, he showed me something in a picture in my mind, and I saw a canal, and it was like, not the water wasn't moving, it was just there. I didn't see anything in the water, but then I saw something else, and it was roaring waters flowing, and then as it flowed, it came crashing up against this huge door, like a gate. And I'm not sure, I have to ask for revelation on it, but I'm not sure if it's because you're afraid to open up and let the Spirit flow in, or is it the door is there to protect?
And I know if that's you, Lillian would love to pray for you, right, Lillian? Yeah. Anyone else?
First, I heard the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then it's like there's some kind of abuse or something that you've been hurt, or I really don't know, but something that I heard seven times, and then I remembered the scripture how it says not only seven times, but 70 times seven to forgive. And then there's like, it was like there's a mountain, and we have to tell that mountain to be cast into the sea, which is whatever that thing that hurts you, that big thing, it was huge, that that's your power right there. And then I heard there's gold and then there are hills, because whatever tried to kill you and tried to hurt you, when you forgive them or whatever you do, to cast that into the sea. And then you get the joy of the Lord, that's your strength, that's your gold, because you are powerful then. You've defeated that foe. And that's what I got for whoever, and you're welcome to come and pray. I'll pray with you.
That's good. That's good. So we've heard a scripture, joy of the Lord is our strength, and more, and a vision, a picture. We got a word. So it could be an emotional feeling or a physical sensation or a scripture.
The Lord gave me the scripture out of Exodus, after the Lord had brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and they were facing the Red Sea, and they saw Pharaoh. And so the Lord was speaking into my heart of some circumstances that you may be going through. And the fear has gripped your heart because you have not been able to see past the circumstances. And this is a scripture that God gave me out of Exodus 14:13. And Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you," and this is out of 14, "and you shall hold your peace." So if there is anyone who is going through some circumstances and fear seems to have gripped you, I'd love to pray for you.
Is there anyone else up here? And we're just going to pray for a release of the prophetic gift as we close. If you didn't get a word yet, but you want one, Is it okay? Will you guys pray for them if they come up? Okay. So as we pray for a release of the prophetic gift, if you want someone to pray for you, just come up. And I know that they'll do that. But let's just ask Holy Spirit to pour out more. Because we can't ever, ever contain enough of Him. Holy Spirit, we want more of You. We want more of You. We want to be filled to overflowing, uncontainable. Every moment of our day, God. We ask You to pour out and release a greater prophetic anointing over each and every one of us. That when we open our mouths, the Word of God and the heart of God is expressed through us. That we see life around us. That we see life released through us, God. Thank You, Father, for who You are. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for empowering us, living inside of us. Each one of us in here, God, we need more of You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for releasing Your anointing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to close tonight, and I think Jesse will worship for a few more minutes, if that's okay. And then as you leave, you can give the offering with Mr. Johnny back there. And don't leave if you want prayer, because we'll stay and pray. It's not even good until the second half anyways. Good night.